Today's Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team supporting you and your community, but right now, more than ever, they need our support, so let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, the official partner of the NFL.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, Eagles fans, to the Locked On Eagles post-game show. Louis DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri posting our Monday edition of the podcast a little bit early today because I'm sure you're all feeling that same fire in your gut that me and Gino right now are after a 23-23 tie to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Eagles are now 0-2-1. This is the second time they have tied the Bengals in the last three matchups against Cincinnati, or four, I should say, because there was that terrible game in 2012. Of the last four matchups with the Bengals, the Eagles have now tied them twice after Doug Peterson decides to punt the football on fourth down. Jake Elliott's getting ready to kick a 59-yard field goal to try to win the game for the Birds. They have two drives in overtime after Carson Wentz has a terrible performance. He leads them on an 11-play, 70-plus-yard drive at the end of the game. He scores a rushing touchdown to tie the game and force overtime. A beautiful throw down the field to Zach Ertz sets them up in field goal range. Penalties on the offensive line puts them out of field goal range. The defense gets the ball back. Fletcher Cox with a big sack. Same with Brandon Graham on Joe Burrow. The Eagles get the ball back. They're on field goal range again, and a penalty puts them out of field goal range. Or maybe not, considering you have Jake Elliott, but Doug Peterson nonetheless decides to punt the football and play for a tie. Gino, we'll bring you in now. We're going to get into our entire reactions for the game, but we have to start with that finish because, you know, of all things this team has going wrong for them right now, a significant regression in what was supposed to be an elite quarterback. Talent, I thought that was plentiful on both sides of the football, just nowhere to be found because of regression in play, because of injuries. With an 0-2 record, you're struggling against the Bengals. The coaching staff seems like they don't know what they're doing. The front office, everything seems going wrong. But one thing I feel like you could count on for this team, when the season seemed like it was on the line, they would come through. And they would continue to be that aggressive team that goes for it. And they tied the game when it seemed like they were dead in the water. And at 0-3, the season might already be over before it even really begins. And then, you know, you breathe a little bit of life back into this thing. And then you see this head coach, I don't know who that was, man, because Doug Peterson that I knew in 2017, 2018, and 2019, they're not playing to tie football games. Frank Reich said it best a couple years ago for this Eagles team. And it's just, I guess it's a perfect way that this team would end this game, Gino, though, because we see a lot of the same pieces that have been a part of a Super Bowl win, three straight playoff appearances, but they don't play or act like that unit at all now. It's not even close. So I guess it's fitting, but man, was that infuriating.
To say the least. I mean, 2017 was the year of analytical Doug Peterson. He, 3 years ago to the day, this week, kicked a 61-yard field goal.
Yep.
By rookie Jake Elliott at the time.
That's right. Yeah, it was week three, 3 years ago. That's right.
Wow. Against the Giants.
Things have come full circle, man.
And he won the game, and everything comes full circle. Time is a flat circle with this Eagles team. But you're right, Lou. They're just passing the baton when it comes to the blame. And you said that Carson had a horrible game. He did finish with a positive EPA, so that is something to look forward to when nobody in the rush game had a positive EPA. That was just downright bad going against one of the worst rush defenses in the NFL. But when it all comes down to it, I've said this many times. Has Doug Peterson put Carson Wentz in this offense in the right position to win football games? And I don't think he has done that. And it was even more evident how he botched that last minute and 50 some odd seconds in overtime. Regardless of the attempt at the end, they were just running clock, not letting the rejuvenated Wentz at the time, who looked like he was out on a mission, he goes and runs for that first down, and then all of a sudden he just doesn't let him throw the ball. I just didn't understand that. And to me, it's just one of those things that Doug Peterson, accountability, this falls on him. Once again, I think this game 100% falls on the coaching staff. Say what you want about Wentz, but when you're down to four starters on offense, I mean, come on, man. Like, who?
Well, I mean, Geno, though. I mean, Carson Wentz for three and a half quarters was terrible. He was inaccurate. He was missing every throw.
But did he not put you in a position to set up and win this game? Which,
yeah, at the end of the game, but you shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place against a Bengals team that has no business being even close to this football team.
I totally get it. You look at the defense, though, Lou, and they also put them in a bad position.
Oh, yeah. This was an entire team collapse again, man.
And that's what I'm saying. And the person who was there at the end of the game and answered the call was finally the defensive line and showed up. And I thought Carson had a good half a quarter when it mattered. And
yeah, he looked like the 2019 Wentz again for everything that was going wrong with him over the last 3 weeks.
But you have to give him some credit.
Yeah, definitely. He did fight when at one point out there on offense, it was Nate Herbig, Matt Pryor, Jordan Mailata, John Hightower, Deontay Burnett, right? And Richard Rodgers. At one point, that was what Wentz had out there. So one thing I will give Carson Wentz in this game to get into a little positive before we just tear this thing down is that he did will that team back into the football game at the end. And even that throw to Zach Ertz in overtime to get them in field goal range was his best throw of the season. He has been terribly inaccurate, and that's an understatement. I am so, so concerned about that right now. But when it came down to the clutch and he had to make a play, he did. And then, like you said, the baton was passed to Doug Peterson. And it wasn't even just that last minute and a half, Gino. You look at that first drive, and on third and eight, the play calling, again, it's these slot screens. It's the same regurgitated things that defenses can see coming a mile away. You're on the 10-yard line on third and eight in overtime. At this point, if you give the Bengals back the ball, it's sudden death rules at that point at your own 10, so it's already going to be a tough situation for Cameron Johnston, and you run a swing check down to Miles Sanders. I mean, what is Doug? Who is this coach? This is not
Coward.
This is not Doug Peterson. That was just cowardice play calling in overtime. And I guess it just shows his lack of faith in this football team in general that he would punt for the tie. I mean, when you're 0-2, Gino, 0-2-1 versus 0-3, to me, it doesn't make a difference. Maybe it does because you're in the NFC East and it's a terrible division, and maybe that half a game will matter, but that's not how I want to be as a football team. I'm going for the win there, and if I lose, so be it, I lose, but I'm going to ride and die with the way this team has won football games the past 3 years, and it's never going to be that way. I never want to be a football team that goes based on that conservative approach, regardless of analytics. And man, I don't even think that was the analytical call.
No, I mean, that's the thing. That's not the right analytical call. In what world is having a tie better than having a win?
Right.
It's the Donovan McNabb thing, you know? Like, it's the
same. At least this time they knew what they were doing, right?
I think Doug Peterson did.
Yeah,
why
I definitely
not even have Carson out there and let him throw the ball down the field at least or something like that? But to me, that was what bad football teams do. That's what cowardice football teams do. That's what teams like the Cincinnati Bengals do.
Right.
Teams that punt in good teams' territory.
That's not what this team is supposed to be built on.
And
that's why it's so disappointing, Gino, is because it's, like I said, it's the same guys. And that's why maybe it was fitting for the way this 2020 season is going that I see the same Doug Peterson that called a Philly special on fourth and goal in the Super Bowl. I saw the guy that on fourth and one in the Super Bowl, down by one in his own territory, decide to go for it. It hurts even more to see that same guy put them in that kind of situation and make that decision. It's really disappointing, and it just shows how far they've fallen.
When I look at it, Lou, it's who has made the fewest adjustments in the last few years, and we continually talk about it, Lou. This offense is so blah. They moved nobody around. Like, after a quarter, they said, okay, we're going to stop rolling Carson out of the pocket. And then they just stopped motioning guys altogether towards the end of the game. And they only had Jalen Hurts in there for two plays when clearly he was effective last week and this week. And they were down to Deontay Burnett and Richard Rodgers running routes for them once again. Even though the chips are stacked against them, I just don't think continually Doug does them many favors. Like, when Jake Elliott had to kick that long field goal, I tweeted it and I said, Doug just loves to take his team out of field goal range. When he's around that 40-yard territory, he loves to run plays behind the line of scrimmage. And it just reminded me so much of that Dallas game 5 years ago.
But,
and
you know, that's the thing, too. Again. Like, why aren't you running the football when you have that big completion to Ertz? Like, all you have to do there is get maybe 5-10 more yards and you win the ball game. Like, why, like you said, why are you throwing the football and you're throwing the football behind the line of scrimmage in that situation? It's been 5 years, 4 years, and they're still making the same mistakes. And that's the thing we talked about all week, is accountability and making the same issues repeat itself on both sides of the football, because it was on the defense too today. Jim Schwartz, I tweeted it out, this toxic love triangle with him, Jalen Mills, and Nate Geary is going to be the death of that unit too.
47
it's the
can't
same
play
thing.
In the NFL. He stinks. Yeah. He's atrocious.
He was terrible. He was
Once
terrible
again,
today.
Directly responsible for points against this team, man. It's I'm literally sitting here just clicking around Twitter, just speechless. Like, we talked before this game and said, if they lose and have a bad performance, they seriously have to make big adjustments.
This was a loss, Gino. I mean, the way...
100%. Yeah. 100, I am at that point.
I would have rather had them actually lose this game and go for it. I mean, a tie right now feels worse than the loss because it's the way the tie happened.
And I said it, I think, a few shows ago, I don't want to be that 9-7 middling team that is always just fighting for a playoff spot.
Right.
Even though it's an out-of-conference game, you're winless. You have no wins. That team didn't play like the 2017 underdogs that we knew with the dog masks back against the wall. Nobody's on their side. Yeah, nobody's on your side right now, Philadelphia. Nobody's on your side right now, Doug Peterson. Carson Wentz is keeping as few people on board that are still with him afloat. Jim Schwartz has nobody that likes him. Howie Roseman is ready to get run out of town. It's just who do we trust on this team, Lou?
That's what sucks, man. I thought they had this figured out. I thought they had the right pieces from top to bottom. And even me, as positive as I can be, and you on this podcast, me and you are both now. I mean, you got to call it like you always say on the show, man, for 3 years now. You got to call a spade when you see it, and we got to call a spade. There are issues organizationally from top to bottom right now on this football team, and it's making me second guess a lot of things, because when they fired Chip Kelly and when Howie Roseman talked about no more band-aids when it comes to signing cornerback, you know, veterans and just going for championships now, 9-7, they hadn't won a playoff game in what was it, you know, like almost a decade, basically 2008 to 2017, 9 years. They said that they were done just fighting for being okay. And today it feels like they reverted back to that, I don't know, complacency, that they're okay with just fighting for the NFC East and being maybe 9-6-1 like they were in 2008. You know, that's what that decision felt like. And I think that decision, Doug Peterson punting the football on fourth down, really just represents everything that right now is wrong with this football team. The Eagles tie it up against the Bengals today. They're 0-2-1 in the season, 23-23. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri joining you on the Locked On Eagles postgame show. And ladies and gentlemen, it's brought to you today by CBDMD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day, especially if you watch the Eagles. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering our listeners 25% off our next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD. MD promo code locked on, again, cbdmd.com, I should say, for 25% off when you use the promo code locked on. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles, quote unquote, tie the game against the Bengals 23-23. They're 0-2-1 on the season. Louis DiBiase joining you alongside Gino Camilleri. Gino, we got deep into Doug Peterson and just how disappointing the end of that football game was. And, you know, especially considering the way it ended, the regulation portion of the game, I should say, because that football team, it didn't look anything close to what we're used to the past 3 years for pretty much four quarters. But then suddenly, like it normally does, just this light this switch turns on when this team realizes their season's about to be over if they don't get it together. The offense drives down the field, 11 plays. Even before that, I should say Darius Slay makes some huge plays on A.J. Green to get the ball back for this offense. Carson Wentz, while he was, to me, abysmal again throwing the football today, he was great as a runner. 9 carries for 65 yards, including the game-tying touchdown. And then to just give that ball game away when you had so many opportunities to win it in overtime. It's tough, man, because it doesn't get easier. Now you got the 49ers coming up, and as banged up as they are, Kyle Shanahan terrifies me with the way he game plans against defenses, especially against a Jim Schwartz defense. You got the Steelers, you got the Ravens. This 3 weeks where you had Cincinnati, Los Angeles, Washington, you should have had 2 of those 3 games. The fact that you're still with a goose egg in the win column, man, I mean, we talked about it this week that if they didn't come out with a win in this game, loss or tie, doesn't matter. If you didn't get a win against Cincinnati, we're going to have to do a lot more long-term talking points here than just talking about how to get out of this hole. There's bigger issues now to fry. There's bigger fish to fry now than just saying, how do you bounce back and get back in this divisional race? I'm seeing a lot of holes in this team that I don't care about, like you said in segment one, I don't care about 9-7 anymore and just getting into the postseason. This team right now isn't even close to winning a championship, and no. That's what matters.
At Surrender Index on Twitter has one of the best analytics that I love to follow, and it is called the Surrender Index, which measures the cowardness of a punt, basically. So Philadelphia decided to punt to Cincinnati from the Philadelphia 49 on 4th and 17 with 18 seconds remaining in overtime while tied 23-23. With a surrender index of 13.69, this punt ranks in the 97th percentile of cowardly punts of the 2020 season and 95th percentile of all punts since 2009. So anybody who's not good at math, being in the 95th percentile of anything in regards to being a coward is not good. Mm-hmm. And Doug Peterson showed today that he did not trust his football team. If I'm a player in that locker room, I'm seriously looking at Doug Peterson right now saying, man, what are you doing? Why? Why are we not kicking this ball? Why are we not giving Jake Elliott, who has a Super Bowl ring and has done this before, a chance to do this? Why not give a player in Carson Wentz, who has arguably a top 5 powerful arm in the league, have a chance to even throw it to the end zone? You know what? We're going to punt the football. Yep. What does that show your team? Not just now, but for the long run. We talked about 2016, Lou. We'll back it up here for a second. In this very same situation, going for it when Carson Wentz came back against Baltimore, that 2-point conversion, that set it up for the future, saying, okay, we're going to be a team that takes chances. What he did today was completely revert everything that he has done in the last 4 years, because you cannot, with all the data that this team says that they have, and that ESPN article came out and said that the Eagles had the 3rd most analytic based front office in the league, you can't look at Doug Peterson and say he used any given data to make that decision in that game other than that's how he felt, because it doesn't make any logical sense when there's 18 seconds left and your 3rd possession of overtime, Lou. Mm-hmm. Not their first, not their second, their 3rd possession of overtime, didn't even give the team a chance to win. That to me just, that sours me more than anything.
It's even more concerning the fact that who it was that made this decision. It's a head coach that has been aggressive for 4 years. It's a coach that has been forward thinking. And so if you want to dive deeper, obviously the decision itself was the wrong one. It was a cowardice one, but what does it represent? I think it represents that a guy in Doug Peterson, who normally is the complete opposite when it comes to his philosophy of football and coaching football, he doesn't have faith in his quarterback right now. He doesn't have faith in his team. And that is alarming. And also at the same, like, again, I'm not justifying his decision, but I will say, look, this quarterback right now in Carson Wentz, I will defend him to the death, and this doesn't, his performance over the last 3 weeks, it doesn't even come close to justifying any of the takes over the last 4 years. It doesn't suddenly negate what he did last year, what he did in 2017, or even in 2018. Like, this suddenly doesn't confirm all these terrible narratives that have formed over the years, for sure. So let's get that out of the way. But one thing I'll say is, I'm nervous. I have never seen a guy that supposedly, I think heading into the season, was a top 5 talent at quarterback, coming off the run that he had in 2019. I can't figure out what part of it is that has him playing this way. The inaccuracy. I mean, the mechanics. You look at that second interception where Zach Ertz, he's just trying to give Ertz a chance, and he's got to put that back shoulder to give Ertz an opportunity, and instead he throws it inside, and it's picked off. The turnovers, he fumbled again today. That's 51 fumbles in 59 games. Geno, I mean, you saw the frustration. He slammed his helmet again. Last time you saw that was another career low for him in 2018 against New Orleans. I can't figure it out, man, and I'm nervous because this is 3 weeks now. We've never seen Wentz go this long where he stays in that slump. And we saw him knock it off for a little bit at the end there when he knew the season was on the line. So hopefully that's a building block moving forward. But I am officially concerned about Carson Wentz. And of course, his head coach isn't helping him out. The injuries, we can't even talk about the injuries because there's so much else that we need to address right now. He's not set up to succeed, and he is not elevating what was falling apart around him last year. He did it last year. This year, he's not doing it. And I'm nervous, man. It's going to be a hectic week.
Yeah, I think this is the time where they have to really evaluate this team for what it is. And frankly, I don't think they're good enough to be a contender at this point in time. And I look at Wentz and what is going on with him. I like a lot of what he did in the fourth quarter. I thought he settled down very well. The first three quarters definitely did what Carson Wentz does when he has to press. Dallas Goedert goes out early. DeSean Jackson goes out early. Here we go again. Like, this is the perfect formula. Like, you're in science class playing with the test tubes, and you put the wrong chemicals together, and that you have that one big one that sets everything off. That's what happens in these scenarios where guys go down. Wentz just continues to try and press the ball. That throw to Ertz had no reason to be thrown. That throw to DeSean had no reason to be thrown.
But it's even the easy throws, though, Gino. Like, in overtime, right. I mean, he missed, although it was a terrible play call in third and eight to Miles Sanders, like, Wentz just misses the... I mean, he's missing a lot of throws where last year, even with all these same factors being the case where everything around him's falling apart, last year, though, he elevated the team. And this year, he's a liability. And it's like, I don't know what it is. It's not the Jalen Hurts pick. There's no way that pick rattled him this much, considering Nick Foles, a Super Bowl MVP, was behind him the year before. I've seen that take being tossed around on Twitter. That's not the case. I'm just trying to figure out, man, how this elite quarterback has regressed to a bottom tier one over the last 3 weeks, because that's what he's been.
See, this is where we kind of differentiate. Like, I agree first. I agree he's been bad, but at the same time, I really do not think that this team, on any other unit besides special teams, has done a good job. And
if we're just talking about Wentz in a vacuum, though, like, I agree with you team. I'm just talking about, like, Wentz specifically, though. Like, why is it that he...
See, like,
because we've seen him before, though. You can talk about the factors around him, but this has been the case before, and he hasn't played even close to this bad.
I get it. It definitely is mechanical. We saw it today. I thought he did a little better job down the stretch, but you're right, man. He has to understand that when this team has their back up against the wall, that it is on him, but that he doesn't have to give into the pressure. And I still don't think he's, like, recognized that, you know? Like, he's still trying to do way too much, and it hurts him. And I know you watched the Buffalo game, and you went on the Josh Allen experience where he threw four touchdowns and then he fumbled it all over the board. And then same with Carson Wentz. Like, we see him have these bad plays, and then he has these plays where he's rolling out, scrambling away from sure sacks, and he's running it in for the touchdown. And when a lot of things around him go bad, like, he still doesn't say no. He doesn't say die, you know? Like, I have to give him some credit in that point of view. But when I look at this game, I look at it more from, like, an organizational perspective. Like, how does the organization respond to this? Like, I don't take as much away from Carson Wentz's play today than I do around the organization as a whole, from a roster building construction point of view, from a coaching point of view on both the offense and defense, and just from an analytical decision making point of view, because they have the analytical people in there. They have tons of coaches, but things aren't going right. So where is the bottleneck? They need to address that bottleneck. I don't know what it is, but they need to figure it out.
Yeah, 100%. Let's go into, before we take one more break, look, with how bad Wentz has been, ladies and gentlemen, they aren't benching him ever this year.
No.
Like, that is, it's not happening. right now this team is invested in Carson Wentz. They've invested $100 million in him. And although this is the worst three games, the worst three-game stretch of his career, and I'm alarmed as all of you are, 100%. This is not the Carson Wentz we're used to over the last 4 years. One thing they are not going to do is bench this kid. It's just, it's not going to happen. So you can put that to rest right now. And Gino, I'm with you, man. It is hard, though, when we haven't even gotten into the injuries. And I can't believe that's like third or fourth on our list on this show, right. But it just goes to show how everything else is going wrong with this team. Every year, it's getting worse and worse and worse. They, week three of this season, already have a worse lineup offensively than what they, or maybe the same as what they did last year at the end of the season. Again, I was laughing in overtime when Jason Peters got hurt. And Jason Peters was terrible all game, by the way, even before that.
Oh, he stinks.
Yeah, JP, I'm going to have to eat crow on telling the Eagles to give him a raise. That was
a mistake. Really, Lou? Really?
So I'll eat crow there when I have to. But look, at one point it was, again, I just got to say it one more time, Jordan Mailata's out there, Nate Herbig, Matt Pryor, John Hightower, Greg Ward, Deontay Burnett. You can't win football games when that consistently is happening week in and week out. Carson Wentz has been terrible on his own, regardless of what's around him, but that is not going to help anybody get out of a slump that they're in. Doug Peterson's not helping either, but that, I mean, the injuries, Gino, DeSean Jackson just cannot stay on the field. I guess this is why they had him on a snap count week one. Dallas Goedert goes down now. Again, like we said, it could be the 34-year-old with soft tissue injuries and an injury history, or it could be the young 24-year-old tight end that gets hurt. It doesn't matter. If you're wearing midnight green, this just happens to you.
It stinks, man.
Who else got hurt? Slay got hurt? Maddox?
I don't know how they're going to make it through the season. I really don't.
It's week three. I mean, you're already down to third stringers at some positions.
Yeah, dude,
and some is by choice, of course, linebacker, Nate Geary, but...
Don't even get me started on him. But yeah, you said it, man. There's just so much a collection of bad things, bad mojo, bad juju around this team that they've tried this formula before with a lot of these players, a lot of this core. Maybe it's time to see if it's time to shake things up, man, because... This is a low point. I thought the Miami game last year was a low point. Buddy, I would love to be back in Miami last year knowing what would happen.
At least Wentz played good
in that
game, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But here we are again in 2020 talking about the same things. And frankly, it doesn't help when a lot of your draft picks in the last few drafts aren't doing anything. Sidney Jones and Sue aren't even on the team. JJ outright stinks, is just non-existent.
Sorry, buddy.
No, it's okay, man. I'll own it. When it comes down to it, they need to address the future of this franchise very quickly, because how can you go into a sixth? I mean, we're not even a quarter way through the season. Like, how can you even think to begin that you're going to go into the same into next season with the same coaching staff?
Yeah.
Like, you have to do something quick, man. You really... And Jeffrey Lurie, like, he wants a championship, man. He wants to build championship teams. I can't see him sitting on their laurels and just saying, okay, a tie to arguably one of the worst teams in the last decade is going to be okay for this Philadelphia Eagles team moving forward. No way.
This Locked On Eagles post-game show is brought to you by Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar you'll find out there. 18 amazing flavors. They've got 6 new ones for you. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. It's a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories in every bar. Free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri wrapping up this Locked On Eagles postgame show. Week 3, the Eagles tie the Bengals. They are 0-2-1 on the season. Gino, I liked how you finished off segment 2. They have to really question the future of this football team, starting with the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, who already had questions about this offense heading into the season. He was a big reason that Carson Walsh was fired, Mike Groh was fired, that this new infusion of different head coaches, this new structure around Doug Peterson's coaching staff was built in place. Howie Roseman was a huge part of remolding this offense, supposedly to be speed-oriented. The defense has new pieces, but they kept Jim Schwartz in-house. There's a lot of decisions that they need to make now. It's not just, I mean, this week on the podcast, we're going to have to talk about more than just how they bounce back against San Fran. There are more issues to this football team than just getting your first win of the season. Down the road, now we have to question if they're how they're built right now is the right way to be built. And I don't know what that next decision is. It's not going to be benching Carson Wentz. So again, you can suggest that until you're blue in the face, and people will all week long. That's not going to be the move. Is it? I can't foresee them even considering firing Doug Peterson. Is it Howie Roseman? Is it just Jim Schwartz is the first big statement move by firing him at defensive coordinator? I don't know what the move is going to be, but Gino, the way things are going right now, they can't continue this way. I'm waiting to see, and it's tough. It's tough to admit that because I loved how this roster looked just less than a month ago. And again, it's hard because I see so many pieces that have been part of an incredible three-year run with this football team still on this team. So it's harder to see all those guys still here, and you're just waiting for that light to turn on. You're waiting for that switch to click over. And this year, I don't know, man. I don't feel it from the offense, from the defense, from the quarterback, from the coaches. I don't feel it anywhere. And so that's when I think you have to start questioning things, especially considering their salary cap situation next offseason with a trade deadline in place in the NFL. You've got to start asking those questions even during the season.
You have to, man. And we talk about proactivity versus reactivity. Like, great, you don't want to be too far behind the eight ball. And you look at teams and the history of the NFL, firings do happen this early in the season. I can think back to the Bills a couple years ago when they had Greg Roman here, and they fired him after week two in that last year of Rex Ryan when he was there. It happens. And frankly,
Juan Castillo was fired in 2012, right? And Todd Bowles took over for the Eagles?
Correct. Correct. Yeah, and frankly, man, we talk about injuries on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, What is Jim Schwartz doing, man? Like, why
the same
are we still
thing he's
allowing
always done,
third and 15 plays? Like, why are we still playing sticks defense? Why are we still playing Darius Slay in zone coverage and off coverage? Why are we still doing the same things? And you're right, Lou. Something has to change. It has to. Because what you are doing, and if you think you are going to do it better with what you have in-house, I just think it would be oblivious to the current state of the team to think that that's going to change. Because clearly what you have and clearly the formula you're putting together is wrong. And to continually put it out there, especially when you're going up against the Niners and when you go against the Seahawks and Packers and Saints and all those teams down the road, it's going to be a bigger argument that we're going to have. And really, what are you in terms of conference position? Like, you might be one of the worst teams in the conference right now, for all we know. It's you have to do something and fast, man. I expect some sort of change to happen this week.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. I wanted this team to make the playoffs in 2018. I wanted them to make the playoffs last year. I wanted that run for Carson Wentz. I believed with the pieces they still have as part of that championship 2017 season, as part of a team that almost got back to the NFC title in 2018, I wanted them to take every single crack at the postseason that they could get. But one thing that maybe we have to ask is maybe making the playoffs the past 2 years has allowed this organization to kind of just throw a rug over the real blemishes of how this organization is built. And so that's a question now this year we're going to have to ask, and it's going to have to be during the season, and it's all really represented through this tie to the Bengals. 23-23, the Eagles dropped to 0-2-1 on the season. Before we wrap up the postgame show, let's just take a look at box score. Carson Wentz finishes the game 29-47, 225 yards on the day, one touchdown, two interceptions. He also had 65 rushing yards and a touchdown. Miles Sanders, another good day from him, 18 carries for 95 yards. In the receiving category, Greg Ward leads the day, 8 catches, 72 yards and a touchdown. Zach Ertz, 7 catches, I should say, for 70. And then you have a couple guys in 19 yards with John Hightower, Deontay Burnett. But outside of that, little done through the air today for the Birds after Dallas Goedert goes down and DeSean Jackson with injuries. On defense, Nate Geary leads the way in tackles, but he was awful all game long. He has 8 tackles on the day, but gave up More touchdowns today as he has really every single week. Yep, you know, that's just the way it goes for him. A lot of sacks. The defensive line at least stepped up. That'll be a positive in tomorrow's stock up, stock down segment. Brandon Graham, 2 sacks. Derek Barnett, 2 sacks. Jalen Mills with 1.5 sacks. Fletcher Cox gets 1. Josh Sweat, Malik Jackson also with 0.5 sack. Javon Hargrave got a lot of pressure today. So we'll get more into the defense tomorrow on Stock Up, Stock Down. Gino, any final thoughts before we wrap up the show? I mean, obviously disappointing. This is not what we want to talk about. I was even excited, as much as I was discouraged by everything this football team did today. If they could have just pulled out a win, I was pumped to just have the season still be alive. And although it's not over at 0-2-1, I'd be naive to say it's over after 3 weeks. Again, I'm talking more big picture now with this team, because I just see on the field, I have a lack of trust seeing what I see in the field right now, that this team, the way they're constructed right now, and with the injuries too piling on top of this roster, how they're going to be able to turn this around. I have serious doubt.
I do too, man. I think we're at a point, 0-3 or 0-2-1 rather.
Basically 0-3.
That, yeah, basically you're better off being 0-3 at this point, to be honest. But yeah, big picture, You got to look at where you are in terms of a franchise and in terms of building blocks and paying older players to come back and have these one more run. And, and Jason Peters is not the formula. It isn't, man. It's you got to let the young kids play, because I thought John Hightower down the stretch had a pretty decent game.
Drew a couple big pass interferences on that game-tying drive, yeah.
Absolutely. I thought Josh Sweat, another young player, had another fantastic game himself. I thought Darius Slay continues to play good football. Nate Herbig, once again, quiet game from him. I thought he did a pretty good job as well, and same with Matt Pryor outside of that false start. But like you said, man, not much good to look at this team. I really think this is a bigger mindset going into next week of how are we going to change for the good moving forward, not just week to week. How are we going to change this organization for the best? We have to make some big decisions and quick, and in terms of personnel, in terms of coaching, because I really don't think this is the formula. And you and I have said it multiple times, we overrated the skill of this team.
I think so, yeah.
Overrated the personnel of this team. And frankly, from a standpoint of scouting that I pride myself on, I really kind of missed the boat with this team. I thought they had more in them than to play the type of football that they have been right now. And it is disappointing all around. And I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. I really am. Like, we've been here as a franchise a few different times. And right now I feel like we're in a better spot than most, because you do kind of have some good building blocks still, but comparably, man, like, what do you see this team doing this year? Not competing for a championship, maybe not even next year. Like, you got to have a good draft. You have a lot of questions in terms of salary cap. It's going to be a huge turnaround, and Jeffrey Lurie is going to have some sort of role to play come this week and what happens moving forward.
100%, Gino. We're going to have a lot of self-reflection coming up on this week's Locked On Eagles podcast. We've got another 4 to 5 episodes being posted on the podcast feed this week, so make sure you subscribe to the show on any platform. You can also listen to every podcast episode on LockedOnEagles.com. And we're always talking birds after the show on Twitter at DBLCLOE and at Gino_LOE. The Eagles tie the Bengals today 23-23. They are 0-2-1 on the season. They have the San Francisco 49ers coming up next week. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.